How can an understanding of the theology of the cross help in times of pain, suffering, and loss? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is titled The Problem of Suffering, A Father's Hope. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Problem of Suffering by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Problem of Suffering, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January.
I mean, if religion is so great, why has it started so many wars? Why does it build huge churches but fails to feed the poor? Tell single moms God doesn't love them if they've ever had a divorce, but in the Old Testament, God actually calls religious people whores. Religion might preach grace, but another thing they practice, tend to ridicule God's people, they did it to John the Baptist. They can't fix their problems, and so they just mask it, not realizing religion's like spraying perfume on a casket.
Well, you may not know his name, but if you've been to YouTube recently, you've maybe seen the video. It's got more than 14 million views. It's called Why I Hate Religion But Love Jesus. Jefferson Bethke's little rap has stirred up a lot of questions among people. At least on Facebook, it's been shared and shared and shared alike. People who've liked it and liked it and liked it. This dichotomy between Jesus and religion is the basis of the entire argument there. But is it a valid dichotomy? Is it a valid distinction between those two things? We're going to be responding to this popular YouTube video called Why I Hate Religion But Love Jesus for the first part of this hour of Issues Etc. Live this Wednesday afternoon, the 18th of January. Greetings and welcome. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. And thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Jonathan Fisk will be our guest. And a little bit later, in the last few minutes of the program, Leonard Pitts Jr. has written recently in his national column about the bigotry of social conservatives. His proof, his case in point, is none other than former Senator Rick Santorum. He says Santorum is holding on to an outdated, anachronistic view of marriage and making bogus and bigoted arguments on the campaign trail, and he deserves all the booze he gets. We'll see what Frank Turek, founder and president of CrossExamine.org, says about that. Now, you can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor Jonathan Fisk is a regular guest. He's associate pastor at Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, and host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting. Jonathan, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be back.
When did religion become a bad word among Christians?
That's a really good question. I don't know that you could pin it down. This has been going on for a long time. And maybe some of the questions, not just when, but how. And to answer that, then, there's really more than one answer, too. One of the things that we need to keep at the forefront is that ever since the beginning of the devil's lies, he has kind of twisted religion into false religion. It's always his goal to try to trick us to believe words other than God's words to be God's words and then put our faith in them. And what he does is he tricks us with teaching us that we can do something to reach God or become God or become better than God. There's some law out there. If we can just keep this law, then things will get better. And he managed to pull this off in the Garden of Eden, for goodness sakes. But he's been doing it ever since, too. Teaching us that by doing the right things, following the right set of rules, we will be able to achieve perfection or paradise or some sort of godhood. And so in the name of religion, that kind of set of beliefs about keeping a law to become godlike has been taught throughout human history. And wherever it's taught, what it does is it kills people. It kills their consciences because you can't ever really quite achieve all the things that you're supposed to be achieving. So in the name of religion, false religion has been taught. In the name of religion, the law has been taught as if it is a gospel, no matter what law you want to talk about, whether it's the Ten Commandments or some New Age mysticism, a law is taught as if it's the gospel. And people begin to feel sick of it. They begin to get tired of it. They begin to be broken by it, and they get to the point where they just can't take it anymore. I really say Christians begin to get to the point where they can't take it anymore. And when they're being taught that this is the Christian faith, they start to then say, well, then I'm not so sure I'm into this Christian faith thing. But on the other side, there's the reality that from the beginning, we have been rebels against God. From the moment we chose to believe the devil's first lie, we decided to hate true religion. they even hate grace itself, but then with that, to hate the true law. And so there's this part of us that just has to rebel in general, and you can trace that all the way through history as well. And then you have, throwing in all this mix and getting back to your when answer, the history of liberal criticism in Western civilization coming out of the Middle Ages and the Reformation, where because of the Enlightenment, men began to think that I can now begin to understand things. I can even understand not only the scriptures, but the history of the scriptures, how they came about as man-made documents, and I can see past them. I can see more than them because we are competent enough now to see past these myths and stories. And they began to question huge portions of scripture. And as they did this, they would tend to attack the history of the church, the organization, the structure of those who had taught the scriptures as true. This kind of classic liberalism has taken a lot of different forms over time, but in the last now 50 years, it has taken on a pop form very often. In the 60s and the 70s, it did with, I can't remember the guy's name, but a very famous song at the time, I'm Not Religious, I Just Love the Lord. And then now today, with Jefferson, who was an honest Christian man, trying to preach the gospel, but yet has bought some of these ideas and is saying that I hate religion, but I love Jesus, and creating this false dichotomy. What he hates is false religion. What he hates is a religion of works. And what he needs is to rediscover that the true religion is actually the gospel of grace in Christ.
Okay, let's start in this critique with what is right. And I watched your assessment of it. You kind of have a give and take back and forth via video with this, now 14 plus million hit YouTube video. And you kind of respond here and there. And there are a lot of places, Jonathan, where you were in full agreement with Jefferson Bethke, isn't there?
Yes, absolutely. And all the more so if he would just use the English word that I think he really wants to use, rather than a redefined kind of postmodern squishy word that means a special thing he wants it to mean. But where I absolutely am in agreement with him is he's got this, I'm not sure where he's getting it, but this at least reformed Calvinist understanding of unconditional grace, the total working out of atonement by Jesus for you. And he even gets that. I mean, so many Lutheran pastors don't do this from the pulpit. They don't say for you, but he does. I mean, it's like the highlight of his video is to get to this point where when Christ is on the cross, he was thinking of you. He was doing this for you. And then he gets to a point where he's also almost paraphrasing. He is paraphrasing. He's almost quoting Dr. Luther from some of the work he has done on the theology of the cross, talking about these two religions in the world, that the law always says, do this, but the work is never done. But the gospel says, not do this, it says, believe this, and look, Christ, in Christ, everything is done already. Well, Jefferson kind of wants to go there, too. He's actually talking in those terms, but then he goes and he doesn't say the law. He says, religion says, do this, and it's never done. See, my religion as a Christian, as a Lutheran, who believes the Bible is true and all of its words about Christ, my religion doesn't teach me do this. And my religion, actually the gospel, teaches me believe this, and it's done already. And so he's got this hunger for the gospel, and he's found it somewhere. It's like he was in evangelicalism being beaten down by the law and all the legalism that he sees in many, many evangelical churches, and maybe even Lutheran pietistic churches. But he was starving, and then someone gave him the gospel, and he said, yes! And then someone gave him some liberal argument about how religion is the cause of war, and he bought that too, and now he's squished them together, and he's preaching it. And that's where it kind of becomes, wait, someone's got to rise up and say, this idea ain't all kosher.
Okay, so this is really a good example of trying to correct a few very glaringly false misconceptions on the part of this young man, whereas he seems to understand the gospel quite well. He has, as a foil to the gospel, things that, well, he's chosen the wrong enemy of the gospel, in a sense, it sounds like you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to know more what you mean by enemy, but yeah, it's like he's attacked. I don't think he means to. I don't think he means to attack the church, but if you watch, like, a lot of the responses of evangelicals or just YouTubers who are giving video responses to what he's saying, they think he's attacking the church, and they're saying, yes, this is great. You don't need the church to be a Christian. Now, I think if you were to understand what he wanted you to think, he'd say, no, that's wrong. But because of a lack of clarity in his terminology and the way that language really is working in our culture right now, he is essentially cutting off the foundation of what he wants to preach. So there's Jesus for you. He did it on the cross for you, but then that's it. now I can just go off and kind of believe that for now and be happy with my life and live however I want. And I don't want to be legalistic, so I'm just going to kind of make my own choices and not worry about the law too much, which we don't want to say that the law is not true, right? Hating your neighbor is still bad, right? Sleeping around still hurts your neighbor. And so it's like he's cutting off the foundations of where he wants to go. He wants to build the church up with preaching of Christ, and yet he's going to blame the church itself for its problems. But does he mean that? What does he mean by church? Does he mean evangelicalism when he says that? Has he experienced worldwide Christianity, and can he fit it all into that? It's hard to say. Who is he fighting against? Because he doesn't define it that way. He just says religion. And if I take what religion means, well, it means a set of beliefs. Really? A set of beliefs is the cause of all the problems in the world? Really? Having beliefs is the problem?
So is part of the problem that he doesn't define religion adequately to set it as the danger that he believes it to be?
Yeah. I mean, that's my major kind of beef with it in my own critique of it. And I think what he wants to say when he means religion is a religion of law, or even more so, I think he wants to say a hypocritical belief that you're keeping the religion of law. And hypocrisy is what he's really after. He can't stand hypocrisy. But that's not what the word religion means. And even though in some cases one could talk about, say, being religious and it means being legalistic, just because the adjective means something doesn't mean the noun carries all the weight of that adjective. And so to make a broad term like religion mean legalism is really, I can't fathom doing that.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll do some more response to this popular YouTube video, Why I Hate Religion But Love Jesus by Jefferson Bethke. Pastor Jonathan Fisk is our guest. He's associate pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, and he's host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting. We'll be right back with more response to Why I Hate Religion But Love Jesus.
Think big screens belong in the movie theater, not at church? Think garage bands should stay in the garage, not be jamming in front of the altar? Hey, we do too. Come join us at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, for services that are reverent and relevant, vibrant and traditional. Divine service on Saturday at 6 p.m., on Sunday morning at 7:45 and 10, with Sunday school and Bible class in between at 9. Join us. Not a big screen or garage band in sight. Promise.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
What if I told you Jesus came to abolish religion? Jesus and religion are on opposite spectrums. See, one's the work of God, but one's a man-made invention. See, one is the cure, but the other's the infection.
That's Jefferson Bethke from his popular YouTube video, Why I Hate Religion But Love Jesus. We're analyzing some of the things he had to say there since it's making the rounds all over the internet. Pastor Jonathan Fisk is our guest on this Wednesday afternoon, January the 18th. Let's see what Mark has to say. He's calling from his cell. Hi, Mark.
Pastor Todd, you were talking about hypocrisy. And it's one thing for me not to live up to the values I proclaim. But it's another thing, and it just seems to me this is what we do today, to find my validation, my justification in pointing out that other people don't live up to the values that they proclaim, while I never really live up to any values because we've destroyed values.
Mark, thank you very much. Thanks for listening. Jonathan.
Yeah, that is kind of the danger of what goes on in Bethany's videos. He's shooting with like a shotgun, right? And he's hitting people that maybe he doesn't mean to be hitting, but it's because he's judging so broadly this idea of religion. So anybody who would associate with that word is going to be included in the judgment. And then interestingly, he turns around and in the middle segment of the video begins to talk about how he used to be all these things and now he's not anymore. And he wants to show you how he's found new life in Christ, but he's suddenly pointing to himself and his own actions. And he brings up pornography and says he left it behind. But now this has become the mark of a Christian, is that you've overcome your sin. And not that Christians shouldn't strive for this, right? We should, but that's not what marks us down. If I can say one more thing, I was just thinking over the break there about, again, this word religion and how you redefine it. And if I can come at it from a different direction, maybe I can have it make sense. So let's say I'm pro-life, right? Because I am. Let's say I'm pro-life. And so because I'm pro-life, I think that the Democrats who are pro-choice are wrong in that. I don't like that some Democrats make it part of their platform to be pro-choice. And so I want to go online and I make a video about how I hate Democrats because Democrats are pro-choice. Well, now I've just kind of lumped in pro-life Democrats, which exist, with the Democrats, with my phrase. I've included them and I've said I hate them, and I've attacked them directly. Now let's say I go a little further. I don't even want to say that. I say I hate democracy, which is, you know, the idea of being a Democrat, but even further, and has an even broader connotation. Now I've just said something even further. I've condemned an entire thought system, all because I'm trying to say I don't like one thing about a certain way a certain group acts. And that's kind of what he's done with the word religion.
I don't like to watch a Christian brother paint himself into a corner, which, if you watch Jefferson Bethke's video, he does at times. He really, and you've pointed it out quite well, he paints himself into a corner. Has he fallen into the popular idea or the popular distinction between being spiritual but not religious?
Possibly. He doesn't ever use the word spiritual, so it's hard to get there. But he's making quotes or quoting phrases that fit into that system of thought, that private religion versus public religion thing, which is spirituality versus religion and in the way they talk. And it makes it sound as if you can kind of be this Lone Ranger Christian. That is certainly, again, how people who are viewing this are responding to it in other comments, that I don't need the church. And even in my video, I'm getting comments from people attacking me and saying, I don't need, you know, what you're saying is judgmental. I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. And so they firmly believe that's what he's promoting. So whether or not he's actually fallen into it, he certainly is using phraseology that can be interpreted and understood that way.
One of your other critiques of the video is that he makes a lot of statements, makes a lot of assertions about Jesus and what Jesus hates and what Jesus would do and what Jesus did without any objective that is scriptural foundation for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the first phrase in the video is, what if I told you that Jesus came to abolish religion? If you're asking me that question, I'd say I'd like to see a verse. I'd like to see where he said it. I see a lot of places where Jesus came to destroy hypocrisy, and that basically to destroy all of us because we're all hypocrites. And then I see the fact that Jesus did that in himself on the cross. I also see Jesus fulfilling religion, totally, and then saying, I have not come to abolish it, but to fulfill it. If you're going to talk about the law, I'm his ultimate pinnacle. And then St. Paul runs with that and says, yeah, we don't, just because it's been fulfilled in Christ doesn't mean we throw it down. Just because I'm justified by grace through faith alone doesn't mean I crush the law and I cast it aside. Rather, I uphold the law. I've learned that the law is good. And so I want to know, where are you quoting this from? I don't see it. I see, woe to you Pharisees and Sadducees hypocrites, because you say one thing and do another. Well, okay, but that's not what religion means. You know, in another place, like shortly thereafter, I think it says something like, what if I told you, or somewhere, God calls people in the Old Testament, he calls religious people whores. Where? I certainly see faithlessness being called whoredom, pretension to religion, but how does this mean that the concept of having a set of beliefs, especially the Christianity, which is a religion, the set of beliefs that is Christianity, the creel faith which we confess, how does this equate with whoredom? And so you go back and you kind of ask, you know, has he fallen into this group of people that is buying the spirituality versus religion thing? What I think it is more is that he is part of a tradition of the church, which I would kind of loosely label evangelicalism, that was forged out of a need to reject the past and fix it. And you can trace this all the way back to the Radical Reformation, and he's trying to do it again. And so he must reject what came before, because they always do. Revivalism must always reject what came before and forge it anew. But they never actually managed to get out of the same box they're in. So they turn around and they just basically preach the same thing they hated. And so it's my prayer for this man is that he discovers a place where the gospel is truly what he hears preached, and where it doesn't just leave him by himself as a solo ranger out on the prairie, but brings him into the body of Christ, where the word and then the gifts of God, the sacraments, bind us together in spite of our hypocrisy, so that we can, with Luther, say, we're all beggars. I'm not going to condemn you because you're a beggar and hypocrite. I'm the biggest hypocrite in the room. I know it. Let's kneel at this table together and receive forgiveness in that blood that was shed for us.
Does he, you mentioned this before, but I guess I should ask you plain and simple, does he fall into a trap, trying to avoid and decry hypocrisy, that is, saying one thing but practicing another? Does he, in fact, very, at least at one place in the video, actually do that very thing? Where he, while admitting to his faults, he will say, well, you know, I used to do this, but I'm not that anymore.
Go ahead.
Well, it sounds strangely like the Pharisee in Jesus' parable saying, I thank you that I'm not like those other people.
Yeah. No, like I was just saying, though, you know, we all are this by nature. This is the old Adam in us, the flesh, that we do judge ourselves based on our works. We can't help it. And so does he do that at that point in the video? It's sure he's preaching it. He's preaching himself rather than Christ momentarily. Now, thankfully, he turns from that and runs to Christ, and so I can rejoice in that. But it certainly is a weak part of the video, and it fits again with this revivalism, evangelicalism that he is wanting to get out of, it looks like. He doesn't like what it's made of his faith, but he can't. And what their theology is the past is broken, but in us it's going to be, in our generation it's going to be fixed, we're going to leave behind all those problems, just go back to the original thing, and the original thing is, now I'm a new man, I'm transformed, and I'm going to live it. And you end up right where you were, and your children, a generation later, have learned your legalism as opposed to your grandparents' legalism. But it always comes back to legalism.
On the other side, is there a hint, I think these two always go together, but is there a hint, an unintentional hint, in some of the things he says in the video, of antinomianism, that is, a rejection of all do's, all don'ts?
Yeah, it almost seems that way, and it's certainly the way that some of the people are hearing it, that are rejecting church offhand based on his comments and using this video, you know, to affirm their rejection of church. Now, there's a truth that, as Lutherans, we would say this, I think, that if you preach the gospel to its purity, you really left it out there, and you got a legalist in the room, he's going to call you an antinomian because you've actually set everybody free. And so that, you know, you don't want to undo that, but without an actual law, and then maybe this is it, the video itself doesn't have any real law in it. It's got a bunch of man-made rules and a bunch of crushing of ideas, but it doesn't leave you with, here is what goodness really is. And so you could possibly then not be redeemed into that goodness, but be redeemed into licentiousness. But I would hesitate to accuse the video of that too much, because he certainly wants to give you the gospel that on the cross there's this atonement taking place, and I wouldn't want to hedge that by calling the gospel reductionism too fast. That is a danger, though, Todd, and I don't want to deny that either. There's this whole field of theology that teaches that Christ paid for the cross, so we're free, and there's some sort of progressive revelation of what life can look like now, so let's just let gender fall away and live freely, and maybe we'll help the poor a little bit because that sounds nice. We'll do it from the suburbs and pay someone else to do it, but there is that kind of loose universalism, and I wouldn't say he's there yet. Doesn't sound like that's where he is to me, but it is always a danger.
All right, when we come back, a few more minutes with Pastor Jonathan Fisk responding to the popular video called Why I Hate Religion But Love Jesus by Jefferson Bethke. He levels a few accusations against religion in a very broad way. If religion is so good, then why has it caused so many wars? Why doesn't it feed the poor? Why does it tell a single mother that she's unwelcome if she's ever had a divorce? I'm not rapping. I'm just trying to paraphrase the young man in the video. Is that true? Is that true of religion? Really? I mean, if you're going to make those kind of accusations, you should probably check to see if religion is in fact the source of so many wars or doesn't feed the poor. Can we redeem the world and the word religion, even in an age when people think it's a bad word? We'll be right back. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion to.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church. Christological. Creedal. Confessional. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The story of hope and grace.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Chris and Lucy Claire were thrilled to discover they were expecting twins. Both wanted a large family. But then came the prenatal prognosis. Baby sisters Hope and Grace were conjoined and had little chance to live after birth. Despite this, the young parents planned to cherish any moments they would have with their girls. After the birth of their nieces, Lucy's sister reflected, "The beauty of Hope and Grace is that their lives, although brief, made an impact on many people. May we always remember the beauty of life, even if it is only for 46 minutes."
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Now, I ain't judging. I'm just saying, quit putting on a fake look. Because there's a problem if people only know that you're a Christian by your Facebook. I mean, in every other aspect of life, you know that logic's unworthy. It's like saying you play for the Lakers just because you bought a jersey. So for religion, no, I hate it. In fact, I literally resent it. Because when Jesus said, "It is finished," I believe he meant it.
That's Jefferson Bethke from his popular YouTube video, Why I Hate Religion But Love Jesus. We're responding to some of the ideas in that video with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. He's associate pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, and he's host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting. Jonathan, before we go on, tell us about one of your recent Worldview Everlasting videos called Freestyle and Jesus Equals Religion.
Yeah, so what I do on the show generally is I try to teach Bible and doctrine and just kind of have some fun with it. But when I saw this this video going up to 12 million at the time, it was at 12 million, you know, in 4.5 days, all over Facebook, and then seeing a lot of Lutherans who, you know, is my peoples, right, hurting, you know, saying, I'm not sure what to think about this, making comments, but not really knowing there was something wrong, but not really sure why. I said, well, we gotta talk about this. So the most recent video, I take his video, and I just, like a good freestyle rap throwdown, which is a whole culture where rappers get up and kind of rap back and forth and argue with each other, I rap back a few answers and kind of challenge his own thinking on it and question a lot of the same ideas we're having here. I try to take it a little bit lighthearted. Hip-hop, of course, has the kind of, you know, this buff attitude to it, and so there's some of that there. So if you are going to go watch it, take it with a grain of salt. I don't mean to attack Jefferson personally, but I do mean to challenge his ideas in the medium that he first put them forward in.
We'll post a link to Pastor Fisk's Freestyling Jesus Equals Religion video at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. We heard there in that little clip coming out of the break where he says, and he says it several times, I think, in the video, that he ain't judging. He's not judging. Is he?
Well, it sure sounds like it, you know, and I don't have a problem with that, actually. See, it's kind of the thing. It's like in America, it's a sin to judge people or to judge ideas, more importantly, right? He's judging ideas at the very least. I actually felt personally judged, but I don't have a problem with judging ideas and talking about these ideas. I'd rather he owned up to it and says he thinks there's problems, they should be fixed. That's called judging. And we do it all the time. It's just part of life. And yet we've got this kind of weird American piety that won't let us say that we're judging. But asking these questions about the church, which you mentioned before that we're going to lead into, or about religion, which we're going to lead into now, you know, the wars and all this stuff, it's pretty much a judgment on why the people who are religious don't live up to whatever they say they're living up to. If he's not judging, you really wouldn't need a video. Just kind of be quiet.
His general count against religion, as he defines it, is hypocrisy. But his more specific account, I think, against Christianity as a religion, mm-hmm. is that mm-hmm. it's the source of so many wars, it doesn't feed the poor, and in one instance, at least, he says it will tell a single mother that she isn't welcome if she's had a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
What's your response?
Yeah. My response is, while there certainly are churches that maybe would teach that, at least that latter one, but maybe some of the other things even, that's really not Christianity. And then to find the proof for Christianity being the source of wars, so many of them, that's pretty hard to do. You can find the proof that there are Christians who maybe hijacked Christianity and try to use it for their own agendas within war. But Christianity itself doesn't really teach warfare. So if you're going to talk about religion in general, I mean, there is at least one religion on this planet that seems to teach warfare. That'd be Islam. But most of the others don't have it as the tenets of belief. You know, thou shalt go out and take your neighbor's stuff by the sword, slaughter him, and so forth. It's just not part of it. So, you know, historically, where are you getting this from? Because it's not proven by history. And then biblically, where are you saying that this idea of religion actually brings us there? Same thing can be said about the hospitals and the feeding the poor. And the church has a wonderful track record of starting human institutions for caring for those who are the least of these. And really, most of the hospitals in the United States and the entire medical industry comes out of the church at one point doing this for free. I mean, just doing this out of charity. Now, it's no longer there anymore. It's been overtaken by capitalism. But if you go to the hospital and have a broken bone set, you have to be thankful that Christianity is around because that's where this stuff came from. If I can go back to the wars thing, too, I got in an interesting little debate with an atheist in the comments on my video on YouTube, where he just said, you know, this idea that religion doesn't cause war, my position, is ludicrous because every war ever has been caused by religion. And I said, well, no, I think there's some that have not been caused by religion. He said, name one. And I said, well, I would say that Stalinist Russia, caused at least a lot of death and destruction because of atheism. And he said, no, that wasn't atheism. That was atheists abusing atheism for their own ends. And I said, well, that's kind of what I'm saying, you know, is that people abuse idea systems, but it's not the idea system itself necessarily. You know, having an idea system doesn't force you to go do these things. And he would have none of it. He couldn't concede that we were actually arguing the same point. So, for then bringing that back then for Jefferson, you know, this comment that he's making about religion causing wars, there really isn't a ton of proof for it. Maybe there's some wars that have been caused. Even the Crusades, though, if you go back and look at the history, a lot of the propaganda is more about false religion and the abuse of religion for personal gain for certain individuals than the tenets of Christianity. And as for that poor single mother who has been left by her husband, the church is, as Jefferson says rightly, the church is a hospital for the broken. And any church congregation that would turn her away because she's been a sinner, because she's been divorced and broken in this way, would not be doing its job as church to forgive sins. However, if she's going to come in and boast in her sin and say, I can do this anytime I want, I'm going to live how I want, well, we don't want to give that message either. Sin is still sin. It hurts people. The church is here to proclaim where that sin meets its end. It meets its end in the cross of Christ.
Does Bethke unintentionally fall into the same mistaken idea that the new atheists do so often when they lump all religions together into one category, including Christianity?
Yeah. I mean, at the very least, he's quoting them without realizing it, and that's part of what's scary about his video. Is like, you got these multiple sources you're quoting. Do you know that you're quoting these sources? Do you know the agenda that they're teaching? Do you know that their scholarship is maybe not solid? And why are you weaving these things together with your proclamation that Christ died for you? Because they actually are against each other. So, he's at the very least quoting some of the same ideas of the new atheists. And, you know, to what advantage is this for the church? And none.
Can we redeem the word religion?
I don't know that we need to try yet, although maybe we do. In the dictionary, it means a set of beliefs usually involving a supernatural creator of some kind. I mean, that's still the primary meaning of the word in our culture. Now, as postmodernism continues to tweak words and twist them, maybe there will come a time where it literally no longer means that. But until Webster's willing to say it, I mean, Webster's not one guy writing his opinion on words. I mean, he's pulling from all the media everywhere in the use of language, and it's updated regularly, and most dictionaries work that way. So, I mean, one of the things that we should certainly think about, though, is teaching that whether you're talking religion or spirituality, it doesn't matter which word you want to use. They're both good words. It really isn't about my spirit or my rereading, really religium is probably to reread, my rereading anything. What it is about the Word of God, which is truth, that was with God in the beginning, who is eternal Logos. He is eternal person of God and brings creation with his own speaking. And so whatever spirituality or religion I want to be in or around, if it's to be true, it must be from him, and it really must be gift. And we must be constantly proclaiming this reality that is who Jesus is, that is what he did on the cross, tangibly taking what I just used as an abstract idea, and he brought it into the flesh and let it be killed for us and rose it again from the dead for us, now places it on your lips, washes you with it in baptism, and actually says, you know, come and learn from me. Reread these texts, find my Holy Spirit in them. And really, religion and spirituality bound together in the triune revelation of God.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk is Associate Pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting. Jonathan, thanks for your time.
Yeah, it was great.
Our listeners were very, very generous with us last year in many ways, in one particular way, through, I think, something that we just put them in touch with last year, if I'm not mistaken, and that's Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, Thrivent Choice Program. It's a way that you can designate charitable dollars to help support Lutheran Public Radio, thereby this radio program, Issues, Etc. Last year, our listeners designated about $15,000 over the course of the year, regular giving for Lutheran Public Radio, supporting Issues, Etc. So we've set a goal for our listeners, $20,000 in 2012 through Thrive and Choice. Now, you can find out about Thrive and Choice by going to our website, issuesetc.org, click donate. There, under the Thrive and Financial for Lutherans logo, when you click on that, you'll find Thrive and Choice. It'll explain itself to you, but you need to remember, if you want to designate support for Issues, Etc., you need to designate that support for Lutheran Public Radio. Lutheran Public Radio produces Issues, Etc. Thanks to all our listeners in the past year for their generous support through Thrive and Choice, and thanks to our listeners in advance for the coming year. Our goal is $20,000 through Thrive and Choice. Issuesetc.org, click donate, and then the Thrive and Financial for Lutherans logo. When we come back, you may have seen it in the paper. Under other views here locally, Leonard Pitts Jr. says that Rick Santorum is a bigot and he deserves to be booed, along with other social conservatives. We'll get Frank Turek's response after this. Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrive and Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrive and Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrive and Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues, Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes. Dedicated customer service and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
How does Jesus' incarnation provide us with a response to religious relativism? Find out in an article that I've written for the latest Issues, Etc. journal. It's titled God in a Box, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Michael Schuerman's journey from moralistic therapeutic deism to the rock-solid theology of the Reformation. The online Issues, Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues, Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues, Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.